Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Terrible is the name, showcasing TV and web series pilot, This Venture's Game. Founder at Jay Kishore joins me next. Also ahead, Twin Peaks gets incomplete marks, Megyn Kelly gets her NBC primetime debut, Here Comes the Olympics Channel, and after time off, our classic trivia question of the week returns, and the first correct winner will get the Mars Nat Geographic DVD. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later on in the program. Delighted to have you with us for the series All About Television. It's a wet day here in the Big Apple, 59 degrees at the top of the hour, but we are delighted you are with us, and we hope wherever things are, where you are, it's all good and all great to go. Wonderful guests coming your way in the next half hour or so, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call and using this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is alive and going. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And our very good friend from Philadelphia, Rick Webb, is already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on the Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And live with us shortly, the founder of Sterable, Ajay Kishore, here in New York after these news notes. The long-awaited reappearance of Twin Peaks began last night on Showtime, and the universal reaction from critics at this hour is inconclusive. Everyone agrees the return of David Lynch and Mark Frost's Moody Saga is as surreal as ever, and they want to see more episodes before rendering a final judgment. Many of the key actors from the original series, which ran on ABC from spring 1990 to summer 1991, are back in this new round of limited series episodes. Megyn Kelly will launch her primetime news magazine hour on NBC June 4th. Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly is the title, and her program will go head-to-head with 60 Minutes at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Separately, NBC will make good on its intention to launch the 24/7 Olympics channel during the second half of 2017. It will be a matter of morphing an existing service, Universal HD, to the Olympics channel this July. Leslie Lugas will stay at CBS as Chairman and Chief Executive Officer through mid-2021 on a renewed two-year contract extension. And Academy Award-winning director Oliver Stone will make his TV series directing debut on Guantanamo, focusing on the very controversial prison detainees. Stone, who won the Oscar for Platoon in 1986, will direct all the episodes, but there's no word yet on where the series will be seen. And that's news notes for today. If you know somebody who has aspirations of launching their own television series, you can let them know there are so many more ways than ever to get that series known. There's television festivals, there's film festivals from Sundance, Rebecca, that now are becoming television festivals, and of late, there's now a website where you can get a pilot on or see what a pilot is like, either a television pilot or a web series pilot. And given the fact they have smart TV sets and smart TV devices in more than 60% of the nation's households, chances are that web pilot will show up in some manner on television. The website is called Sterable. And joining me live here in New York is its founder, Ajay Kishore. Ajay, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How did Sterable start?
So, it's one of these things where I've always been a lifelong television fan, but wasn't really looking to start a website or a company. I was reading an article in Time Out New York, top web series you should know right now, and it just kind of struck a chord, and I started to think, well, why isn't there a better way to find this sort of information? And, you know, started to think about, okay, well, I don't know what the half-life of that article is. Maybe it's a month, maybe it's 6 months, but it's eventually going to be out of date. It's entirely driven by the editorial opinion of that author. And there's no way they know everything that's happening, everything that's being made. And so from there, started to think, okay, well, what is a web series? And realized that, you know, while it's historically been this kind of pejorative term for low-budget, low-quality content, as television shifts the internet, all of a sudden this idea of an independent TV show makes a whole lot more sense. But at the same time, as content shifts the internet, it becomes more fragmented and more opaque. It becomes harder to find everything that's being created. Because we're going from 3 or 4 broadcast networks to several hundred cable channels that you still have a cable channel guide for to the internet, where it's like the ocean in terms of searching for something. So I went to school to be an engineer, and there was something really appealing about wanting to put structure around this really fragmented and opaque ecosystem. And I, as I said, I love television. I'm the sort of person that the first week of Broad City, I was out separately with two friends, and I turned to them and I said, "Hey, have you seen this show?" And they were like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, "Oh my God, we have to go watch it right now." And I dragged them back to my apartment and forced them to watch an episode. Like, I just love making recommendations. I love helping people discover things that they wouldn't otherwise have seen. And so this felt like a really exciting project to work on.
Obviously, if you're going to do a showcase for people who want to make it in television or make it online, you have to win their trust. You have to show that those pilot makers can rely on you or your site to be a great showcase. How long did it take to win over the trust of those pilot creators to get your site up and running?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been something that we've spent a lot of time on, and we really put a lot of value in the fact that we're seen as this creator-focused, creator-friendly company. For us, it's really about solving the needs of the creators and helping them get discovered. Traditionally, when you think about how a show gets discovered, whether it's Netflix or Fox or HBO, it's all through marketing, right? They spend money to make sure the shows get in front of audiences. But independent creators don't really have that sort of ability. They're trying to break through without a marketing budget. And so for us, it's about really making sure that quality gets discovered and being seen by the right people. And what makes that happen is hard work and dedication to quality. And that ends up mattering over time. And I think we're starting to see the fruits of that right now.
When did your site go up? And when people see the site now, how many pilots can they see?
So we've been up for a little under a year. Just to clarify one thing, we do exclusively web series. So it's not necessarily just pilots for shows. It's all web series. So we only do web series. And so right now we have about 3,000 shows on the site. And even that, we're almost undoubtedly scratching the surface in terms of the amount of content that's out there.
And how are the pilots or how are the series solicited? Do they contact you? Do you and your team contact them? And is there sort of a criteria in terms of either technical quality or subject matter that they have to pass muster for?
So it's something that we focus on a lot is how do we get in front of the creator community and explain what we're working on and demonstrate the value for the platform. And so, you know, in the beginning, as you might imagine, you can't have an empty site. We went out and we found shows that we want to highlight. But increasingly now, pretty much all we add is show creators coming up and saying, "Hey, we love what you're working on and we'd love to be a part of it." And so we do that through social media. We do that through partnerships with over a dozen web series festivals. We do that through events like our regular web series screening here in New York. And so for us, it's about making sure that we stay front and center for the community, and it keeps us, I think, working on the right problems and making sure that we're delivering value to them. In terms of the requirements, it's for us, we really want to be an expansive view and to everything that's being created. So something needs to be free, streaming, episodic, and English language subtitles, and then we really want the community to decide, "Hey, this is a really great show," or "Hey, this show really appeals to a certain niche," or "It does this one thing really well." We try and take some editorial stances in that, you know, we want to make sure that things get highlighted, and especially early days on a site like this, you want to help people filter through, because as you can imagine, even with 3,000 shows, it can be a little bit overwhelming. But ultimately, we really want the site's community to drive that sort of discovery process, to say, this show is really great, this show is bad, and if you really like this show, then you should definitely check out this other show. And that's the power of, you know, the sort of data that we're collecting too, is that we're able to make those sorts of recommendations based on what you've liked in the past.
So when you visit the site, if you're just a casual viewer or a casual listener, like many of our listeners to this program or the Blog Talk Radio shows, you can, in addition to watching the series or watching the pilot, you can react to it, and your feedback is recorded. Is it then presented to the creators? Do they get the chance to finally see, like, okay, here's what the majority of your audience, or at least here's what certain sections of your audience think of what you're doing?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think there's a ton of value in helping creators understand how they're being perceived by their audiences. I mean, one of the interesting things about online content is, you know, you're kind of removed as a creator from your eventual audience. And so being able to get that sort of feedback is really powerful, especially because you're hoping to evolve as an artist and as a creator. And then beyond that, as users leave feedback on the site, we also get smarter about making recommendations to them. So if you've liked certain shows in the past, we can say, hey, we have other shows that are like that you should definitely check out, and that you probably wouldn't have heard of otherwise. And that's really, I think, where the value of the platform comes in, is by helping surface this undiscovered content that you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
The name of the website is Cerebold. You're not hearing it wrong. It's called Cerebold. We've got the founder of the site, Ajay Kishore, with us live here in Web New York. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Thanks for joining us for the program All About the Tube. With you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, we want to hear from you. So pick up that phone, dial in at 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name is Rick Webb, is in the room. If you're listening to us for the very first time, we've had a lot of very super people on this program over the first 4.5 months of 2017. And you can check out all our episodes from this year and previous years, since we're in our 10th year on the air, at this very special place, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check us out on podcast at iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. And if you order Apple TV, well, you can order Apple TV online or go to an Apple store near you. Ajay, what has happened with any of the pilots or with any of the series that are showcased? Have any of them picked up major distribution somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all the time seeing shows break out or move on to new platforms. We're also seeing a tremendous amount of evolution just in the web series space, and increasingly there's this idea that you can remain a web series and still have it be a fulfilling creation right there. You don't have to worry about, you know, transitioning it to a more mainstream platform. And then you have the creators that use their shows as kind of a resume, that they have an idea or a voice that's difficult to necessarily imagine, but once you see it, you can realize the power behind it. And so they were able to use that as a way of building their own career and stepping to the next point in their own evolution as an artist.
Okay. Now, last week, your organization did a screening of a number of very promising web series and pilots at the Mini New York Media Center that's here in Dumbo, in Upper Brooklyn. Are you doing that with this group on a regular basis? And then what's been the reaction so far to these screenings?
So that's our second time doing the screening. And it actually, what's interesting is it came out of these casual events that we were doing in New York that were closer to just happy hours for filmmakers. And one of them, one of the web series creators, turned to us and said, hey, you know, one of the frustrating things about being an online creator is exactly what I was saying earlier, that you never really get to see an audience experience it, laugh at the things that you hope that they laugh at, be moved at the things you hope they're moved by. And so the only places that really do it are these kind of dingy back rooms of bars in East Village. And so we thought to ourselves, okay, well, maybe this is something that we can help with. And the Made in New York Media Center has this lovely theater. And so we've you know, rented out the space and held these screenings. We hold a submission process for about a month prior and creators submit, and then we limit it down to about an hour's worth of programming, just really great shows and episode per, and advertise it to the community, bring in the show creators, have them speak about what they've created. And the feedback's been really warm. I think, you know, everyone likes learning more about what's happening within the community. They like seeing their own shows on a big screen. They appreciate that, you know, they're getting credit for something that was often a labor of love that they, you know, toiled over for several years. And we're hoping to expand it. I think our next one is going to be in L.A. over the summer, and then from there maybe another city in the U.S. because we really want to involve different geographies of web series creators on the platform and help them get the recognition that they deserve.
You sort of anticipated my next question, which is this going to expand to other cities? So L.A. is going to get one this summer. Any other cities you're looking at?
We're thinking about Austin. We're thinking about Toronto. You know, one of the interesting things about web series is that it's not specific to L.A. and New York. The beauty of online creation is that it can happen anywhere. And so you're seeing talented creators pop up in non-traditional geographies like Toronto, like Austin, like Miami, Chicago. And so for us, it's fun and exciting to be able to involve those new communities on the platform and be able to show them that, you know, they're getting the attention that they deserve.
Do the creators pay a fee for being on the service, or do the people who check it out have to pay a fee to get in and watch the site on a regular basis?
For now, this site is completely free for both creators and audiences. We're going to be looking at ways to potentially offer services for creators that, you know, we think could offer value, but just being listed on the site is it's entirely free. For us, we're just focused on helping them get discovered by the audience.
What is your audience discovering? Because you have both scripted and unscripted shows and pilots. What are they discovering about the kind of series, the kind of pilots that are being produced?
Repeat the question one more time. I'm sorry.
I said, what is the audience discovering about the kind or the quality of series that are being produced or pilots that are showcased on your site? Let's say now compared to where you started.
Yeah, I think the really exciting thing is that over the past year, people have realized that there is high quality independent content out there. I was having a conversation with someone maybe the beginning part of last year, and they said, I honestly don't believe that there's a single independent show that's worth a damn. And that's a pretty strong statement, but even if I went back to that same person right now, I don't think that they would repeat it. And it's because you've seen these shows break out. Comedian de Cars, High Maintenance, Issa Rae, Between Two Ferns. And so, you know, people know that there's high quality content. They just don't know how to find it. It's a little bit unwieldy, and so that's really the problem that we're solving. But the nice thing is that because people, I think, all of a sudden have a newfound respect for independent content, it's much easier to convince them, oh, they should be watching web series. Now it's just how do they find what they should be watching. But I mean, independent content, like, we discover shows all the time that we think are absolutely brilliant that have 1,000 views or something like that, and it's because the quality just continues to increase, but it's hard to get discovered.
Well, one thing that's helping out, Ajay, is the smart TV set and the smart TV device. As I mentioned earlier, 60% now of all U.S. households have them, either a Samsung or LG or Vizio set among some of the manufacturers, or a Roku or an Apple TV or Amazon Fire, etc. And we know that that's how they're watching a lot of web content. That's how they're watching Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, folks we see that, you know, down the line. Which raises this. Does it raise in the creator's mind the opportunity, you know, hey, if I get on your site, this is one step closer to landing on Netflix becoming a television program, or landing on CISO and becoming a television program, or landing on Full Screen and becoming a television program?
I think in part, yeah. I mean, creators are super focused on getting eyeballs on their content and finding their audience, and we're hoping to help solve that problem. I mean, I think right now the way that content is kind of tiered, you do feel like you need to, you know, jump from platform to platform, and so maybe start on YouTube or Vimeo, and then you transition to a Netflix because you want to be paid for your content, which you should be. But I think increasingly you're going to see these sorts of platforms like Patreon or like Amazon's new service that prop up and help people get paid just while still keeping their content online. And so maybe that tiering goes away because it's more viable to be an independent creator and stay an independent creator.
Jai, does Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, et cetera, do they know you're out there? Have they inquired, let's say, about is there some shows that they should be discovering that might end up being some of the new shows that they commission? And especially also you have Apple looking to get into television programming, Facebook looking to get into original scripted series. I read today that Fandor, with Jared Leto now on board, they may want to get into scripted or unscripted original series. I'm curious if this whole community, Netflix, et cetera, is now looking at what you're doing as a way for them to discover what new shows that they might want to turn into series.
I mean, I think, you know, not to blow our own horn, but I think they should be looking at us and using us as a service for discovering these talented voices that aren't getting the attention that they deserve. Whether they are or not, I think you'd have to ask them. But they certainly should be, because we're discovering gems every single day.
We're speaking with Isaiah Shore. He is the founder of Stareable. It's a website that is showcasing some very unique programming, web series, web pilots, and maybe some folks that might become TV series not too far down the road. And we'll tell you, by the way, where that site is and how you can find it a little bit later on, so stay tuned for that. And he joins us live here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum, who's live from the Big Apple. It's a very rainy Big Apple today, all day long, 59 degrees at the top of the hour. Understand the rain is going to continue tomorrow morning, and then the on-off showers, on-off rain through Friday. But I understand the Memorial Day weekend, right now, looks dynamite. Temperatures in the mid-70s and sunny, at least for now, all the way through. As the former meteorologist used to say, weather do change. You have a question or comment for our guest? Give us a ring. We want to hear from you. And that's at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Coming up shortly, our Classic Trivia Question of the Week is back after a week delay. And if you are the first with the correct answer this week, you will get from Nat Geographic the Mars miniseries on DVD with 2 hours of bonus material. So stay tuned. You could be the winner this week, but you got to be first and correct with the answer to the question. And we'll give you the question in a little while. As you know, we are now seeing an incredible circuit of television festivals. New York, Series Fest in Denver, ITVS in New England, ATX in Austin, ATV in Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Specialized things like the American Black Film Festival coming up this month and next month in Miami, Urban World here in New York. And I'm wondering if at some point you see your organization connecting with them to provide them a steady way and maybe developing a relationship with these TV festivals, or people like Sundance and South by Southwest or Tribeca that are also getting into television, not just film, as a way perhaps to develop some interesting relationships.
Yeah, so we have about a dozen partnerships with web series festivals, both to, you know, help promote them and to get in front of their creator audiences, because as you know, it's tough to find everyone that's creating content, and so festivals are a way for us to get in front of them at a specific point in time. For the bigger television festivals, Series Fest and things like that, they've realized what's happening in online or digital content, and so they've recognized us. Series Fest and Tribeca Film Festival have worked with us to, you know, get submissions for their online platforms. Which I think speaks to, you know, the work that we're doing in terms of getting in front of the community and recognizing quality and helping to elevate it so that people within the industry can value them. So, you know, we're definitely partnering with them right now, and we're working on expanding that, because I do think that, you know, a lot of what we're doing is helping them discover where the exciting parts of television are happening, which is online.
You mentioned the web festival scene. We know that the film festivals like Sundance, Tribeca, and others are now incorporating television. And in some cases, like Tribeca, web pilots also, or web series, into their presentation. What's the web festival scene like these days? And do they want to perhaps employ or deploy, have television be represented in some way?
There are a lot. I think the oldest web series festival is 6 years old. And so we went from 1 6 years ago to something like 50 or 60 this year. They're expanding dramatically. And so, you know, major cities often have one or two festivals, and they've doubled year on year the last couple of years running. And I think all that's happening because of the explosion in content the rapid increase in the quality of the content. And so for the festivals, it's been, I think they've taken a variety of different approaches in how they want to structure things. Some of them are about creators meeting with other creators. Some of them are about creators meeting with industry types so that they can, you know, find distribution or turn their show into a more mainstream piece of content. But you're certainly seeing people from traditional television show up at these festivals to try and get a sense of, you know, what's happening at the forefront of the industry and how they can participate.
You have a brand new section on your site that is trying to not just build community among these creators or these producers, but also to help them out in terms of getting their work on the air. In some cases, financially, through crowdfunding, equity crowdfunding, other means. What's been the reaction so far to this new part of your site?
It's been going really well. So actually, the screening that you attended last week was our launch party for this our Shareable Creator Community Forum. Essentially, what we've realized over the course of working on the platform and by staying in front of creators is that, you know, often they can be a little bit isolated, and it makes sense, right? These creators they're not going to film school necessarily. They're not working with production studios or agents or television channels. So how do they find other people to work with? And when you talk to them about how they find their collaborators, they say that they struggle to go outside of their existing social networks. When you ask them how they learned how to make a show, they kind of pieced it together because, you know, they didn't go to school because these sorts of centralized resources about the process and the craft of creating web series don't really exist. And so what we've wanted to do is create a place where creators can come and communicate and collaborate and share knowledge and resources so that we create a stronger community and they can feel less isolated and find people to collaborate with. And so, you know, it's only been a week, but so far the feedback has been incredibly responsive and we're pretty excited about what this means for us, the company, and for the industry as a whole.
Yeah. Finally, have you heard from some TV people about perhaps expanding what you do to include television pilots or proposed television series, whether the series on broadcast or cable or the likes of Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, or an independent service, a multicast channel, who knows, you know, the source that wants to put them on?
No, I think we're really focused on helping web series or independent TV creators. This notion of what an independent show is a relatively new one, and it's enabled entirely by the internet, but we think it's going to be an increasing percentage of what people consume. And so for us, it's really about, solving the problems of that group and of that community. TV pilots, I think, do a pretty good job of getting discovered because, you know, they're by definition already working with networks. They're in front of production studios, but who is helping web series creators? That's the problem that we want to solve.
But it's interesting how things go. As I said, with smart TVs and devices, it'll be very interesting to see how the lines get blurred. I mean, you can look at a show like I Love Dick on Amazon, which we covered on Friday, or American Gods on Stars, or Dear White People on Netflix, and you could have seen them not as television shows, but maybe web shows, and look how the environment has changed. So who knows where we'll be in the next few months, not to mention like the next few years where things are at. But it's really wonderful to see that that web series, who could become television series, have a new place, a fairly new place to get their work seen, and more importantly, to get the community behind them to grow as far as they want to grow. And if you want to find out more about Starable, and I hope you do, I've seen the site, it's really outstanding, here's where you go, www.starable, StareableAble.com. It's www.starable, StareableAble. I think you will find this a fascinating site, and who knows, you may see the next great television show as part of it. Guy Kishore, the founder of Starable, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on the event last week at the Main New York Media Center. Wonderful, by the way, organization supporting independent television here in New York and around the country. And I wish you the very, very best with your time. By the way, if any of your web series or web pilots do get into television some way, we would love to be an ongoing showcase for them. I want you to know that you're happy you have that with us.
Thank you so much. And I'm honored to be on the show.
My pleasure, Zai, and the greatest. All the greatest to you. Take care. Zai Kishore, the founder of Starable, joining us live here in New York. And now some words from the fine people at Audible.com. I mentioned earlier that Twin Peaks got on the air last night on Showtime. And if you're a Twin Peaks fan, or you want to get into one of the most moody, surreal series ever made for television, well, here's a great way to do it. A set of wonderful audiobooks available already through Audible.com. Audiobooks involving many of the Twin Peaks cast members like Kyle MacLachlan, like The Secret Diary of Laura Palmer, The Secret History of Twin Peaks, and The Twin Peaks Tapes of Agent Cooper. You can get any one of those audiobooks and others related to this classic series that's now back on Showtime Sunday nights. Well, how do you do it? You get a subscription and a 30-day trial to Audible.com. The way you do it, go to this URL and sign in at audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from, every genre, including under the sun and then some. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like one of the great Twin Peaks volumes, or and a one-month trial of the service, and great customer service, too, because all goes up by Amazon.com, and then when it comes to customer service, they are head of the class. So do yourself a favor. Find out how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Go to this URL and get your subscription and your free audio book. It's audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. We come back. Our country question of the week. And a very special project gets underway later this week here in the Big Apple. We'll tell you about the Main New York Writers' Room after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio in the universe, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for 2020 Talk Radio. Are you into making your smart home a very healthy one? Check it out. Tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, 2020 Talk Radio, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best beats are available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Bottom of the Televised. Simon Appledown with you live from New York. 59 degrees and rain here in the Big Apple. Top of the hour. I hope the weather is much better where you are across the country, around the globe that you're hearing us. And right now it's time for the return of our classic trivia question of the week. We gave it a bit of a vacation last week, but it's back. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can win the wonderful DVD of National Geographic's acclaimed miniseries from last fall, Mars, with 2 hours of bonus material. Here's the question. Name the NBC comedy starring Oscar and Emmy winner Lee Grant. Name the NBC comedy in the 1970s starring Oscar and Emmy winner Lee Grant. Of Shampoo fame, that's what she won the Oscar for. And she won a couple of Emmys also for her work on The Tube. One more time. Name the NBC comedy starring Oscar and Emmy winner Lee Grant. If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from, your federal mailing address. And if you first with the correct answer, you will win Mars, the acclaimed miniseries from National Geographic. They're coming back with round two this fall. The DVD has 2 hours of wonderful bonus material, and it's well worth getting as a winner. If you just missed the question, no problem. I'll repeat it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and also on my Twitter hashtag. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, be in, and all the very best. Over the last couple of years, we have seen a lot of efforts to get more women, people of color, women of color in television. Like We for She, The Writer's Room, producing women, made by women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the most ambitious was announced nearly a year ago by the Writers Guild of America East and NYC, that's New York City's Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment. It's called the Man New York Writer's Room. And the idea was to solicit scripts from individual writers and pairs of writers, mostly people of color and women, and each of the entries would be reviewed with critique by a Writers Guild member. From that group, 12 writers or writing pairs would be selected, and they would spend the second half of this year mentored and working together with one of the top showrunners of a series produced here in New York, people like Julie Martin, the executive producer of Law & Order Special Victims Unit. Well, the Writers Guild and the mayor's office did so far better than expected. They were hoping, at most, for 300 scripts to come in. They got more than 500. And every single one of them was reviewed and then sent back to the writers, whether they got forward beyond the first cut or not, with critiquing from a Writers Guild member. Well, this Thursday at the New School for Social Research in Manhattan, those 12 will get showcased in public for the very first time. And the top two, one for comedy, one for drama, are going to get their original scripts read table style by a number of actors, including Julie Klausner, the co-creator and co-star with Billy Eichner of the popular Hulu series Difficult People. It's going to be a very interesting event, and we will be there for it. That's Thursday at the New School for Social Research, and we will invite those two, as well as other people involved with the Great New York Writers Room and their mentors, to come on this program sometime next month. Also, if any of the winning writers or involved writer-writer pairs are from Brooklyn, we'll also invite them to come on BK Live, the now Emmy Award-winning series, daily Monday through Thursday at noon on Brick TV. So we'll let you know what happens on Friday's show. I'm looking forward to it. It's wonderful to see that this project is finally going to come to flower, and I hope this becomes an annual event too, not just a one-shot. Why? Because we could always use more original production of television here in the New York area, especially among women and people of color. And congratulations to the Writers Guild East and to the Mayor's Office and also the New York City Small Business Agency for their involvement in making this happen. Again, on Friday, we'll let you know how things turned out at the Thursday night event, and hopefully we will invite, as I said, some of the winning people involved in this effort on our program next month. So that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Hope you are having a great Monday wherever you are. Come back with us on Friday. We don't know who our guests are yet, but we'll keep you posted on Facebook and Twitter throughout the week. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Incidentally, we were supposed to have on today's episode Bernard McMahon, the director of the new PBS miniseries American Epic, narrated by Robert Redford. Second episode 3. Happens tomorrow night on many public television stations, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Unfortunately, as we speak again, Mr. McMahon is involved in a hastily called production meeting. We are told by his publicist that he will make the show. We are rescheduling him, hopefully, for one of our episodes next week. On Friday, we'll let you know what that episode is. So we apologize that Mr. McMahon, for the second time in a row, could not be with us, but we are going to get him on. And in the meantime, American Epic is going to be seen on many public television stations, I believe Channel 13 here in New York, and WRW in Long Island will carry it. That's Channel 21, 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Remember, you can check your local listings of the PBS station area, and when you do, make sure you find out when they are running this program. We've gotten very, very good reviews. Many stations do run it at the time it's announced nationally, but others will delay the show until later in the week on the weekends. However, many public television stations will also replay the show on weekends as well. So remember, check your locally for the PBS station in your area, as well as when they are playing the show. If you want more details about American Epic, you can go to PBS.org or go to a special website for the program at www.AmericanEpic.com. www.AmericanEpic.com. If you want to stay in touch with what we're doing, check out our podcast on iTunes.com. And also, we, as well as other Blog Talk Radio shows, are available on Apple TV's iTunes Podcast app. That's iTunes Podcast app. You don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. We love hearing from you. You make the show work. Your comments, your suggestions, your ideas for guests. You never know how important you are to this program. So we'd love to hear from you. Let's make it a two-way dialogue. Email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWVT. At UBCSimonTWVT. Remember, we appreciate what you have to say because what you say matters. So matter. Get your comments in. Get the dialogue going. It's appreciated. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Soderberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Tell Lives was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audio book and a 30-day trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But tomorrow we televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day and your week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio. Be safe and be great. Stay dry if you can too. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.